All right, Proverbs chapter 11 tonight. Proverbs 11. You should be getting a handout this evening. And we'll begin reading in verse 24 here. Looking forward to this Sunday. We've been hearing some Easter songs already, the offertory. And so praise the Lord. Looking forward to that. All right, Proverbs 11. I want you to look at verse 24 as they're finishing up here. Proverbs 11. And verse 24. Notice the Bible says, "There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it." We'll stop there and let's pray. Now, Father, we thank you for this evening. It's a joy to be in your house tonight. It's a joy to have prayer together and to sing together. And Lord, as we've come to this portion where the preaching of your word takes place, I pray, Lord, you'd bless the preaching of your word. I pray you'd fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. Give us understanding of this truth that's found not only here in the book of Proverbs, but throughout the Word of God. Lord, smite our hearts if they need to be smitten this evening. Speak to our hearts, lead us, direct us, convict us. I do pray if someone's here that's not saved, that tonight they'd come to know Christ as Savior. And for those of us that know you, that you'd give it, that we would get a hold of this truth this evening. So bless the message again. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In March of 2014, a man by the name of Adam Grant, he was a professor at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania. He published a book that was very interesting when I saw the cover and I read a little bit about it. It was entitled this, "Give and Take, A Revolutionary Approach to Success." I'll say it again. The book title is "Give and Take, A Revolutionary Approach to Success." Now, it's a secular book that examines what he calls, quote, "the surprising forces that shape why some people rise to the top of the success ladder while others sink to the bottom." Now, in the book, what he says, it's a very interesting thought here, and I think it kind of parallels to some of the things the Bible says here. But he says that you can divide people into three categories. He says there are takers, there are matchers, and then there are givers. So notice I wrote that down on your sheet tonight. There are takers, or should I put it in the singular as it is on your sheet? You are either a taker, or you are a matcher, or you are a giver. Now you say, what in the world are they? Well, some are self-explanatory, maybe not all of them. Notice on your sheet is a kind of concise definition, but let me read a longer one. Takers are people, watch this, who when they walk into an interaction with another person, they are trying to get as much as possible from that person and contribute as little as they can in return, thinking that's the shortest and most direct path to achieving their goals. Now, simply put, I like the simplicity of this here. Taker says, what can you do for me? And that's how they interact with people. They go up to people not thinking, what can I do for you? But what can I get from you? What can I take from you? Maybe you're a taker tonight. Then he said there are matchers. Now, that's interesting. You said, what's a matcher? Well, matchers, these are people who try to maintain an even balance of give and take. They think this way: if I help you, I expect you to help me in return. In other words, you got to match it, you know, that way. It's as if they kind of keep score of exchanges so that in their mind, everything is fair and just and they don't get taken advantage of. And so they match. Notice it says here, matcher says this, if I do this for you, will you do that for me? And that's how they deal with people and with relationships and with things. They're matchers. Then there's a third one, and that is the giver. Givers are people who not only donate money or volunteer, but generally speaking, they are looking to help people. They give of themselves without any strings attached. They prefer to be on the contributing end of an interaction. So notice, again, the concise phrase on your handout tonight. A giver says, "What can I do for you?" So again, taker says, "What can you do for me?" Matcher says, "If I do this for you, then you better do, will you do that for me?" And then the giver says, "What can I do for you?" And through this study, this book that Adam Grant did, he found out what the Bible has been saying all along. He found out that ultimately givers succeed, and takers and matchers do not. So I ask each of us tonight, if you had to pick one to describe yourself, which would it be? Which category would I fall under? Am I a taker? Am I a giver? Or am I a matcher? We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Now, we're dealing with the subject, of course, from this series, Wisdom from Above, from James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. I won't go through all the preliminaries again, but for those who may not have been here through this series, we've seen from James chapter 3 that there are two ways that a believer can live in this world, generally speaking. We can live by the wisdom from above, which is God's wisdom. That is true wisdom. That is a wisdom that is given to us by Almighty God, our Creator, who is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. True wisdom has been penned for us and preserved for us in His unfailing, unchanging Word, the Bible. We have His wisdom right before us. And when we live out this wisdom, when we choose to live out this wisdom, it produces the abundant life that the Lord Jesus Christ promised. But then there's another choice. Of course, we understand if you've been here on Wednesday nights, we can live by the so-called wisdom of this world. James 3, I think, talks about wisdom from beneath, but that is a so-called pseudo-wisdom, if you will, that is rooted in the ideas and the philosophies of men. And by the way, this so-called wisdom is ever-changing. Right. You know, this is right. Oh, now it's wrong. You know, wear a mask, don't wear a mask, wink, wink, you know, and all that sort of thing. I mean, it's unsound. It's not really wisdom at all. And God even says this of it in 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. I think He sits in the heavens and laughs at it, to be quite frank, because it is laughable. Now, which is it going to be for you? Which are you going to choose? Because there's a lot of pull to live by the wisdom of this world. We're inundated with that philosophy. Everybody's doing it, right? That's what everybody's doing, so we should do it as well. No, we should not.
Right. Amen.
We should live by the wisdom of God.
Amen.
Now, tonight we're looking at another nugget of wisdom from God's book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, and it is on the principle of giving. Giving. I'd like to preach on this subject this evening. Notice the title. The wisdom of being a giver. Now, often when you preach on the subject of giving, I know if you're like me, when I sit and listen to someone preach, I'm trying to figure out, where are they going tonight? What are they saying? That's just the way I think. And a lot of times we think when we talk about giving, here we go, he's going to start talking about money. And talking about tithing and offerings and all of those things. And that's true. By the way, that does need to be preached about.
Amen.
Perhaps more often than we do, especially to God's people. You know why? Because of the statistics. You say, what are the statistics? I'm glad you asked. The statistics regarding the average Christian's giving are sad, to say the least. According to Barna Research, on average, those that claim to be born-again believers in America give a whopping 2.5% to God's work. That's it. Now, in real money, that's an average of $38 per week. That's the ones that say they're born again. Only 3 to 5% of Christians give regularly to their church. Some give sometimes, only 3 to 5 on a regular basis. Christians on average spend 98% of their annual income on themselves. That's what Barna tells us. And by the way, there's plenty more statistics out there, but I think you get the point. I was reading an article by a man by the name of Dave Joannis. He wrote an article that was entitled Five Things That Could Happen if God's People Tithed. And he said this. He said four of them was, well, he said we could fully fund every single outreach ministry we could think of or that we have. He said we could fully staff every church if God's people tithe. He said we could fully fund the Great Commission if God's people tithe. And he even went on to say we could change the world if God's people just merely tithed.
Amen.
But I'm not going to preach on that tonight. It's going to include that, but tonight I'd like to go beyond money. And I'd like to go to this subject. I'd like to preach on just being a giver. Just in general in your life. Being somebody that gives.
Amen.
Well, preacher, I put something in the plate. I'm not talking about that. You can do that with a bad attitude.
Right.
And you can do that and not even be a giving person. You just do it because I'm supposed to. I'm talking about being a giver. What does God's word say about this subject? What is the wisdom from above in this area of life? We're going to see it from our text, but I'm going to say something here first in a moment. Notice, first of all, number one, the principle of giving. Now, the passage we're reading tonight in Proverbs is no doubt on the subject of giving. You say, preacher, the word give is not in there. Giving's not in there. You're right, but read the several phrases that we see. Notice verse 24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. That word scattereth has the idea of giving. In verse 25, the liberal soul, that's not talking about liberals as we think politically, that's talking about someone who is generous there. And then notice in verse 25, it says, he that watereth. So the idea, the metaphors that are being used here are being used to describe giving. Scattering in giving, generous in giving, watering giving. They're all talking about someone who is a giver. And the biblical principle of giving in the Bible is very, very simple. It's really not that hard, although I'm going to try to prove it biblically tonight. But it's this. God's desire for his children is for all of us to be givers.
Amen.
Giving people. Not takers, not matchers, but givers.
Amen.
Listen to these statements by God. Deuteronomy 15:7. Let's turn there if you would, please. Hold your hand here. Deuteronomy 15:7. Notice we read Deuteronomy 15:7. If there be among you a poor man, of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. You know what that's saying there is that you, as a believer, by application, should be a giver. We're to be giving people. Over and over in the Bible, we are commanded as believers to be givers. It's not that difficult to understand. Matthew 5:42, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Matthew 10:8, he's telling his disciples, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers as he send them out, raise the dead, cast out devils. Watch this. Freely ye have received, freely give. That's interesting. Going to talk about that here in a little bit. Romans chapter 12 and verse 20. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good. Watch this, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Why should we work? Why should he say, stop stealing and work? Why? So that you are able to give. Yes, support your family. Yes, take care of things. I get that. But also we are to give. Proverbs 21:26. He coveteth greedily all the day long, but the righteous giveth and spareth not. So again, we're talking about giving. Let's go to one more verse. Keep you active here tonight. Go to James chapter 2 real quick in the New Testament. James chapter 2. You know this passage in verse 15. Of course, this is the faith and works portion of James chapter 2. And notice what we read in verse 15. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? In other words, there's a need and you have the ability to meet that need, God has provided that for you, and you see someone with that need, you don't just wave your hand and say, oh, well, God bless you. I'll be praying for you, brother. Hope that God takes care of that need. He's saying, why don't you give it to them? You should be, and I should be, a giver. So two things about the principle of giving. Letter A, write this down. Let's remember that, first of all, God is a giver. Now, thank the Lord for that. Amen. Our God is a giving God. There it is, right? James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Our God is a giving God. I want you to think about this. Everything that you and I have comes from God.
Amen.
Whatever it is, you name it. I mean, we could list a zillion things. I may list a few of them here in a moment. But two things I'd like to note about his giving. We see his giving, number one, in salvation. Aren't you glad that he gave his son for us? For God so, loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son. Well, I love you, brother, but I'm not going to give you anything. No, when we love, we give. And God loves us. You say, why? I haven't figured that one out. But he does. He loves us. And he gave his only begotten son. Understand, none of us deserve salvation.
Amen.
You are not a good person.
Amen.
You aren't a nice guy.
Amen.
I mean, let's open up your heart. Let's bear the thing out, if you would. We don't deserve salvation. We couldn't do anything to earn our salvation. Salvation was something that God gave to man through the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There it is, a gift, right? That means he gave it to us. 1 John 4:9, and this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. So we see our God is a giver, and we see that he gave us his son for salvation. But then I notice, secondly, we're moving tonight, we also see here he gives us sustenance, S-U-S-T-E-N-A-N-C-E. There you go. You say, what do you mean by that? You know why you're breathing tonight? You know why I'm breathing tonight? God. That's why. That's an amazing thought. Every heartbeat that's pumping here, that's beating, is because of God. It is God that gives us life and breath and existence. Genesis 1:26. We won't go there. It is God that gives us the rain.
Amen.
He gives us the snow. He gives us the cold. He gives us the warm, according to Psalm 147 and verse 16. It is our God that gives us our daily bread, our food to eat. Psalm 136. and verse 25. That's why we bow our heads when we eat. We say, thank you for this food. You say, I bought that food. I worked for that food. Stop already. God gave it to you. If it weren't for God, you and I wouldn't have absolutely nothing. He's given us our job. He's given us our families, the health that we have today. Psalm 68 and verse 6. My point is this. Our God is a giving God. And thank God for that. So God is a giver. Which leads us, look at that. We're on the back side of this thing already. Letter B. And my wife said, amen. That's not good. Amen. No candy for you tonight. Amen. Letter B, God's people should be givers.
Amen.
There it is. God is a giver.
Amen.
And so God's people should be
amen.
Givers. Do you know that God's goal for every believer, once we are saved, His goal is to mold and shape us into the image of His Son. He wants us to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, one day I'm going to be like Him when I get to heaven. And hopefully from now until then, I should hopefully, and you should as well, be more like Him every day. I know, we take two steps forward and a step back and then three step and three. I get that. But the idea is that's what He wants to do. He wants us to be like Christ. Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. And then 1 Peter 1:15, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. My point is this, our God is a giver. Jesus Christ is God. He is a giver. And God is trying to make us like Christ. Therefore, hey, 1 + 1 = 2. We should be giving people. We should be if we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go to Matthew chapter 5 because I want to show you something the Lord Jesus said here in His Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5. When we're talking about giving, it's more than just giving to the people we like.
Right.
It's giving to everybody. Matthew 5:38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the matcher.
Right.
That's the matcher. I'll give as long as they give to me. And I'll give to, that's the law. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also.
Right.
That's not easy. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you.
Amen.
Do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you
Amen.
And persecute Amen. You, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. You want to be like Christ? Here it is. This is what we do. Those were my words. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye?
Amen.
Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So Christ's message to His disciples, by the way, that's what it is here, to believers here, is loud and clear. Give. Give. Give, though, to those that don't deserve it.
Amen.
Give to those who can't pay you back.
Amen.
Give to those who won't thank you. Give to those who don't appreciate it. Give everything. Give mercy. We're talking about giving in general. Give mercy to those that have wronged you.
Amen.
Give grace to those that have hurt you.
Amen.
Give forgiveness to those that have sinned against you.
Amen.
Give your time to others, to lost people, to those in your Sunday school class, to those that ride your bus, to those that are in your home, to your spouse, and to your own children. Don't look at what others are doing. Don't look for some kind of payback. Don't look for what others aren't doing. Don't keep score. Don't wait for returns. Don't be a taker. Don't be a matcher. Be a giver.
Amen.
Be a giver. That's God's wisdom. Now, the wisdom of the world does this to that statement. What? See, the wisdom of this world says the opposite.
Right.
It says if you give like that, you're a fool. That's what it says. They say people will take advantage of you. People will walk all over you. People will mistreat you. You'll do if you're a giver, boy, just come into a church and be a giver. Boy, you'll be setting up chairs and taking down tables for everything. You'll be the last one here all the time, the first one there, the last one home and all that. And boy, I'll tell you what, those people won't appreciate you. That's what the world says.
Right.
That's what it says. But God says this, you be a giver.
Amen.
And I'll take care of the rest. I'll take care of the rest.
Amen.
Didn't we read in Luke 6:35, or don't we read, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again.
Amen.
And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil.
Right.
That's not easy to do.
Amen.
It's not. Oh, preacher, I'm a giver. The plate goes by and I put my money in there. That's good. Praise the Lord. I hope you do it biblically. I hope you do it with a joyful heart. But am I a giving person? Or do I have that, you know, that wall up? I give to some people. But I'm not going to get walked on. How in the world can we give and be that kind of person to people? How can we do it? Well, two things are going to require. Here it is. Number one, see, to be a giver, it requires death to self.
Amen.
Do you know that selfish people are not givers? They're not. Selfish people put themselves first. That's why they're selfish. They put their own wants, they put their own desires, they put their own everything ahead of everybody else. And understand, the Christian life requires death to self.
Amen.
You see, to be Christ-like and to be, as the Bible tells us, givers, we have to get to the place where we say, it's not about me.
Amen.
This world does not revolve around me. It's not about what I want. It's about me serving the Lord.
Amen.
And being used of him to be a blessing to others.
Praise the Lord.
It's about him. It's about Christ. It's about
Amen.
His work. And in order to be what he wants us to be, we have to die.
Amen.
Metaphorically. You know what Jesus said in John 12:24? He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit.
Amen.
He's talking about being a fruit producer. You see, John 15 talks about the true vine. It talks about bearing fruit, bearing more fruit, and bearing much fruit in that passage. We hear about bearing fruit 30-fold and 50-fold and 100-fold. And I think all of us would say, well, I want to bear as much fruit as I can for God. I hope that's
Amen.
Our desire.
Good.
You know what the requirement is? You have to die. We have to get to the place where you say, my wants and me is dead.
Amen.
It's not about me.
Right.
That's how we get the fruit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I protest by your rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily.
Amen.
I die daily. I have to realize it's not about me, it's about him.
Amen.
It's It's about his work. It's about him using me to reach people. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He says, I'm dead. I'm dead. Luke 14:33, so likewise, whosoever be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be a my disciple. So to be a giver, you must die. You must die. You know, Paul had a rough time at Corinth. You know that? You know that, right? They didn't think he was an apostle at one point. They said, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Cephas, I'm of this. They were doctrinally messed up. And it was a rough, rough time with them. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he said something pretty interesting, which shows the level that he went to die in order to give himself for that people. 2 Corinthians 12:15, he says, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. Amen. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved.
Good. Amen.
Chew on that one for a while.
Amen.
You see, the world says this. The world's wisdom says this. You don't have to take that from anybody. Just leave. Let them be. Let them go. That you're loving them and they're not loving you. You're spending your life investing in them and they don't even appreciate it. You're a fool. Paul says, no. I'll very gladly spend and be spent for you. Even though the more abundantly I love, the less I be loved. Do you know if we're going to be givers, the very first thing we have to give to God is not our dollars.
Right.
It's ourselves.
Amen.
That's it. You see, you'll never be a giver, and I'll never be a giver as we should be until we get to the place of Romans 12 and verses 1 and 2,
Amen.
Where we get to the place and say, Lord, I am yours. I present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is my reasonable service. In other words, all my worldly possessions, almost as if we're the, what you say in the world of the wedding vows. Everything I have, Lord, is yours. It's really not mine. I commit it to you. This house is yours. This car is yours. My job is yours. My family is yours. Use me for your glory. And guess what? You're going to find yourself giving yourself
Amen.
To his work and to others if you do that.
Praise the Lord.
2 Corinthians 8:5, and this they did as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You see, when we give ourselves and our time and our treasure and our talents and all of that will follow. Amen. We relinquish ownership to him.
Amen.
You see, again, if we're going to be givers in general, as he wants us to be, it requires death to self. And then number two, it also requires faith in God.
Amen.
Mark chapter 11 and verse 22. I'll go ahead and read that. I picked that verse up here a little bit just before the service tonight. Mark 11 and verse 22. Let me see if I can't find it there. Mark, and he was sad. No, that's chapter 10, so I'm reading the wrong thing. 11:22. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. It's funny because that's really the Christian life, isn't it? Trust God.
Amen.
In other words, if I'm going to be a giver, I have to trust God that as I give, he's going to take care of me. I trust his word. I trust what he says. I trust his way. I know that he knows what is best, and he will take care of things. I don't have to be the matcher and try to make sure I'm not giving too much or taking advantage of. I just give as I'm supposed to give and obey his word, and he'll take care of it.
Amen.
Have faith in God.
Right.
You see, if we want to be like our God, we will be givers.
Right.
So number one, we see the principle of giving. Now let's go back to our text, because I want to pick out some things real quick in Proverbs chapter 11 about this giving. Notice number two, the paradox of giving. So let's go back to here in Proverbs chapter 11. Notice he says something that's kind of odd, humanly speaking. He says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Now let's take that apart for a minute. Notice again verse 24. Verse 24 is what we call a paradox. In other words, it seems like a contradiction. It's something that does not make human sense. He says, if we scatter, we will increase.
Amen.
I want you to imagine, I was going to do this, but I didn't. I was going to take a little bag. But imagine if I had a bag here full of, let's say candy bars. There you go, right? And I start handing out the take fives. And I start handing out the, like, brother, right? And I guess what? It's going to go to the end of the bag, and I won't have any more. If I scatter it, guess what? It's going to go away. That's not what God says, though.
Amen.
He says if you scatter it, it's going to increase.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And then he says if we withhold more than is necessary, we will become poor.
Right.
That doesn't make sense.
Right.
If I keep it and don't give it and hoard it, I should have more. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
You see, humanly, mathematically, logically speaking, the opposite is true.
Amen.
If I give out things, I'll have less. If I keep things, I have more. Now, that may be true mathematically, but it's not true spiritually.
Right.
And this is where the faith in God comes. Spiritually, the opposite is true. God says, you scatter, I'm going to increase. But if you withhold, guess what? You're going to become poor.
Right.
Then in verse 25, notice, the liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered himself. He's saying here, if we give liberally, then if we get, God is actually going to give us more than we need. And if we give out water, God will make sure that we have plenty of water and actually not only have water, but have plenty to spare. The principle is this. There's no such thing as giving too much.
Amen.
Or serving God too much. Or investing in others too much. Because when we give of those things, when we are a giving person, God will make sure. He promises that we're taken care of.
Amen.
Oh, I love Luke 6:38. It really emphasizes this paradox. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. He says, you give and guess what? It's going to come back to you. Even more than you can imagine.
Amen.
Now, let me show you something. Go over to Matthew 14. We'll come back to this proverb here in a second. Go to Matthew 14 because here is this principle in action with the feeding of the 5,000.
Amen.
You remember the story,
right.
Matthew chapter 14. It's in all the Gospels. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 15. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place. And the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. Now stop there. Let's pause for a moment. I want you to put yourselves in the disciples' shoes. Okay, here they are. There's at least 5,000 men, the Bible says. So there's well over 5,000 people there. They've been with Christ all day. It's about dinner time. They're hungry. And they said, Lord, you know, they're hungry. Let's send them away because they have to eat. And Christ says, you feed them. You feed them. You feed them what?
Right.
And they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves. And 2 fishes. That's not going to go very far. But notice as we read on, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. And they did all eat and were filled and they took up the fragments and that remained 12 baskets full.
Amen.
And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men beside women and children. There's the principle there.
Praise the Lord.
He had them all sit down. He said, what are we going to do? Well, here, go give them this. Oh, okay, but okay. So they gave them and they came back to Christ and they kept going. They could, because they gave out, they could keep going to him and getting more and giving and giving and giving and giving. It never ran out.
Amen.
Now, humanly speaking, that doesn't work. Right. But spiritually speaking, it works out just fine. Now, understand, we don't give so that we can get. That's not how it works. We don't think, oh, okay, I'm going to get stuff, so I'm going to give just so I can get. That's not why we're supposed to do it.
Amen.
But when we do give, God blesses us beyond measure. The question is, do we believe this? Do we believe if I give myself to God, if I give everything to him and serve him and live for him, is he going to take care of me in all the other areas of my life? The answer is absolutely yes. Yeah, that book I had mentioned at the beginning of the message, Give and Take, A Revolutionary Approach to Success. The thing that made what the author was so fascinated about was it was the business. He noticed that it was the business person that invested in others, the business person that cared about the customers, the business person that cared about the employees, that cared to develop them and work in their lives and help them advance. It was those ones that gave that were, in the long run, had the greatest success and made the greatest impact on people. Not the ones that were misers, were in it for themselves, worried about the number one, the ones that gave.
Amen.
You know why it was true there? Because God's principles are true.
Amen.
No matter where.
Right. Amen.
You put them into practice.
Praise the Lord.
So we see the principles of giving. We see the paradox of giving. Back to this Proverbs 11. Notice, lastly, the product of giving. Watch what happens here. Verse 26, he that withholdeth corn, notice the next five words, the people shall curse him. Yep, got my corn. You ain't getting it. Hungry? Sorry. Should have planned better. Well, that'll make a whole lot of friends right there. You see, the person that withholds corn from others, the people will curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. In other words, the person that thinks of others, the person that's a giver in his spirit, doesn't just think of himself, God will bless him.
Amen.
And so will the people.
Praise the Lord.
Nobody wants to be around a selfish, stingy, self-centered, unwilling to help person. Nobody does.
Right.
It's that liberal person. It's that giving person. I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about that person that doesn't only think of himself, that thinks of others. You see, it's not the takers that are going to make the greatest impact in this world. The ones that, as we say here, what can you do for me? It's not the makers, the one that makes sure you don't give too much. You don't want to give too much here, you know. They'll want you to do more, and they'll just put all the work on you. Not them. The person that makes the greatest impact on people is the giver that dies to self.
Amen.
And lives for the Lord.
Praise
and allows the Lord to use him.
Amen.
To make a difference in the lives of others.
Amen.
You know, I think back on my life and I think of some people that invested in me.
Praise the Lord.
That took time out to come to our house and visit us, or that worked with us through the discipleship program, or that tried to encourage us along the way and teach us and bring us to conferences and things like that. And preachers' conferences and all that sort of thing. Trying to work, I think of all that. I still do to this day.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I think, you know, they didn't have to do that.
Right.
But they did.
Praise the Lord.
You see, it's the ones that give their time to serve God by serving in the local church to be a blessing to others that make a difference in this world.
Amen.
The ones that are, you know, back in the nursery, giving their time. The ones that that are Sunday school teachers that are out visiting their kids and trying to make a difference there, the ones that knock on doors to try to win people to the Lord because they care about them, the ones that work in the Christian school, those are the ones that are giving their life not to themselves, not to try to hoard everything that they can get for themselves, but that want to make a great difference for the Lord in this world. Those are the ones, the givers are the ones that will make the greatest impact for Christ in this world.
Amen.
Not the takers and not the makers.
Amen.
So ones that get involved in the lives of others. Can I ask you something tonight? Does that describe you? You see, the way we make a difference in people's lives is by being a giver.
Amen.
Again, not what can I get from them?
Right.
Not making sure everything's even. But someone who says, I'm going to give.
Amen.
I'm going to give my life. I'm going to give myself to others. Maybe Sunday school kids. Maybe that's your ministry. But certainly your wife, your family, and all. It's not about you. It's about Him.
Amen.
You see, God's call on the lives of all of His children is to be what Jesus Christ was.
Amen.
And is a giver. So, Amen. We're done here. Which one would you say characterizes you? Taker? Why don't they visit me? Why don't they talk to me? How come no one's saying hello to me? That's a taker. That's a taker. Or a matcher? Well, if they say something to me, I'll say something to them. If they don't, I'm not. That's the way I'm going to work around this thing. I'll do a little bit, but not too much, because other people aren't doing stuff either, so I'm going to make sure that I'm not taken advantage of here. Or I'm going to reach out to people. I'm going to serve Amen. The Lord. I don't Amen. Care who's doing what. I'm going to be a giver, and I'm going to make a difference. Amen. Which one are you?